Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And you invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, we're going to have another program this hour on finances. We've asked Dave Morgan to be with us. And David writes a letter on silver. He's certainly one of the leading experts on what's happening in the silver market. And if you go up on the Kitco or one of the other financial pages, you'll find people talking about silver, and they always get back to our special guest. And now, what you must understand is that he's recognized even by somebody like Jim Plava, who has a financial program every week on the Internet. 30,000 people a week listen to that program. Boy, I wish we had 30,000 people a week listening to ours. We probably have 10 or 12, but nowhere near that many. And, of course, that's just, I think, to a one-hour program. But Dave is a recurrent guest there. Obviously, they put a great deal of credence in what he has to say. And I think we should listen to him because he's a specialist in one field. And yet, I think there are tremendous potentials for your advantage if you understand what an expert in the field says. David, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Stan.
Well, now, of course, since we talked last, I think the last time we talked, silver was going through the roof, and it was moving up towards $8 an ounce, and now it's down around it's just a little over six here. And, of course, we even were down pretty close to $5.50 an ounce. And I'm sure that really shook the confidence of a lot of people. What do you foresee happening in the silver market in the coming months?
Well, we did have what's called a parabolic curve going up in the silver market, meaning it was making new high after new high, and it was not in a very rapid fashion. So those type of technical patterns are a caution sign, no matter what the commodity, if it was corn or cocoa or soybeans or silver or whatever, those, or a stock, for example. When you see those type of patterns, it's usually raising a caution flag if you look at technical analysis. So I was a little scared, and rightfully so, with hindsight, that the market was getting ahead of itself. And as you said, once the longs or the people that were betting on a higher silver price started to take profits, then the market came down rapidly.
And of
so
course,
what's going to happen now will be a consolidation phase. When they have that kind of a waterfall decline, it usually takes like several months, really, to repair the damage. So I'm looking for kind of a ho-hum summer, and I'm looking for the fall months to start to rebuild its strength in both the gold and silver market. And I think by the end of the year, we're still going to have some pretty good numbers, meaning over $7 in silver, maybe $8, and gold, I think, will be well into the mid-400s.
Well, of course, we've been hearing for a long period of time about the essentials, the fact that the silver stocks are shrinking, and we're certainly not producing anywhere near as much as we're using. And, of course, the prediction that I've been hearing, you know, for years is we're running out, and it'll be next July or next July after the next July, that there really will be a silver squeeze in the market, and there's only a certain limited amount there in the COMEX, and yet they're selling three or four times as much as they actually have on the commodity market and driving the price down. Where do we really stand on things like that?
Well, you outlined it fairly well, and I think that people that follow the market closely are probably tired of hearing the same old saw. I mean, but the facts are what they are. The silver market has run a deficit for 15 consecutive years, and the average deficit has been almost 100 million ounces on an annual basis. Now, it's the last few years it's been less than that, but there's been many years it's been like 140, 150 million ounces on an annual basis.
And I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we're going to bring some of our other stations on board with us, so we'll be back in just a moment with Dave Morgan. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And, of course, we need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views and the views of our guests. And today we have with us David Morgan, who writes a fascinating letter on silver. And you'll see him quoted very, very frequently on pages when anybody's discussing silver. Well, David Morgan says this. And David is a regular guest on the Jim Plava Show, which is sort of one of the more important programs where they analyze what's happening economically to our society. So with that in mind, we were talking to Jim and saying, what's happening to silver? We hear about the fundamentals, that there's a shortage of silver in the world, and yet, of course, the price goes up, it goes down. We've seen a recent rundown, and many people who've gotten into silver certainly are very, very discouraged at the present time. It got down to maybe $5.50. It's a little over $6 last time I looked a couple of days ago. I don't know where it is today. Where is it today, Dave?
Actually, close, just under six today, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. So David says he thinks there's just going to be a consolidation for the next few months. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Correct, it is, certainly.
All right, fine. Well, then what's going to happen after that, or is there any way to really tell?
Well, there's, it's a percentages thing. I mean, basically, no one knows the future, and I'll be the first to admit that. I believe that if you study cycles, which isn't my number one area of expertise, but you see a basic shift every 20 years or so between the paper asset market and the commodity market. When paper assets are topping, the commodity sector is bottoming. That's what happened about the year 2000. You had a top in both the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones Industrial Averages, and you had no one caring about the commodity sector. And that's when I said you should sell your stocks and you should move into the commodity sector. And basically, I've been right so far. Now, any market goes up and down, and what you want to establish is what is the primary trend. And the primary trend, in my view, and so far I haven't been proven wrong, is up for commodities and down for paper assets. But they don't, as I said, go straight up or straight down. So that means you've got to, weather the storm from time to time, because you'll get these contra trends that take place like we just had in the silver market. I firmly believe that silver will be far higher than $8 eventually. In fact, I'm looking for it to take out the old high of $50. But
hold that thought right now, just for a moment. Well, our guest is David Morgan, and of course, he claims that he believes that, not being clairvoyant at all, but he believes that one day we're going to see silver back at $50 an ounce. It was back in, I guess, what was that, 1980?
That's correct.
All right, fine. How soon do you think that'll be? Do you think that'll be within my lifetime, or do you think that'll be, of course, remember, I'm 75, but do you think that that'll be within the next few years?
I think that the top of the market's going to come between 2008 and 2010.
All right, fine. So we're talking about really 4 or 5 years from now. All right. Now, do you think then that we're going to see this corresponding to the low in the stock market? In other words, you were commenting how they usually go just the opposite. When the market's up, commodities are down. When the market's down, commodities are up. Are you anticipating we'll have a drop in the stock market until that time?
Yes, I do. And I expect to see the Dow somewhere around 2,000 and possibly 1,000.
Well, of course, we know that many, many people think it's going to get down to 3,000. You're even more pessimistic.
I am. Normally, 90% retracement in a blow-off situation is not totally unusual. In other words, silver, for example, went from, it depends where you start, but you could say it started around the 250 level, went all the way up to 50, and came back down to 350 years later. So the stock market really got its legs around $1,000 level on the DTI, went all the way over to about 11,000, and so for it to correct down to 2,000 or even 1,000 is not impossible. I think that when the currency crisis happens, and I'm almost certain that it will, or I might even better state it as the perceived currency crisis, when no one wants the dollar and everyone in the world wants to get rid of their dollars as rapidly as they can, the shift into the commodity sector will be phenomenal. And if you take the highest class subset of the commodity sector, money, which is gold and silver, those two will go into prices that probably will scare you if I told you what I think. But I also could back up my thought process by saying if you just took the amount of money that's in M1 right now, it's 6 times greater than it was in 1980. So if we got to $800 gold to get back to the same amount in paper money, since they printed so much more in the last 24 years, you would have to multiply it by 6. So that suggests 6 times 8 or $4,800 gold.
Pretty close to $5,000 gold, right, is what you're talking about. Now, of course, I think that there are an awful lot of people that's out there who really don't understand what M1 is. Would you want to define that for our listeners? Because, you know, people are acquainted with the economy, can throw these names around. But to the average individual out there, you know, who is more interested in, you know, watching television, M1, M2, M3 are just sort of like speaking Greek. What is M1 and why is that figure so significant?
M1 is considered to be cash, which is the currency that we, currency is really a misstatement, but I'll call it that. It's the dollar bills, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, and hundreds that you have in your pocket. And it's also checkbook money, what we call near cash. It's anything that you could give to somebody as a vehicle for payment in today's society. So it's currency or checkbook money. That's M1.
All right, and then, of course, as you get into M2, while you get into time accounts and things of that sort, and things that are much less liquid, and then M3, I've never quite understand that because they keep changing the definitions, and I really think they do that to confuse me more than anything, and that's not too difficult. Well, you know, what we're dealing, of course, is with a totally fiat currency system. In other words, we're dealing with a currency system unlike any we've ever really had in the world, where there's absolutely nothing behind it. They've tried this, you know, with under John Law in the early 1700s in France, and it worked great for a while, and then the whole thing collapsed. And then they tried it after the French Revolution, and it worked great for a while, and everybody was so prosperous, and then eventually it collapsed. And they tried it in Hitler's Germany, and they tried it in certainly in so many countries throughout the world, and it always ends in disaster. Why do they think that they're so much smarter here in the United States than anybody else has ever been in the whole history of the world?
Well stated, Dr. Stannon, and that's the problem. I mean, I was alluding to the fact that the M1 supply in the United States is up sixfold. Actually, it's a little higher than that from 1980. But that was when we saw prices of silver over 50 and gold over 800. And that was with approximately 1%, and that's an educated guess, of the people participating in the metals markets because they were fearful about inflation or fearful about destruction of the dollar. But let's take that a step further. Let's say that 1% of the world's population is concerned about the dollar this time. And that's what I think will happen this time because of the Internet, the communication system, more sophisticated people, bank-to-bank interchanges, and that type of thing. And let's face it, the dollar is supposed to be the reserve currency of the world. So if 1% of the world's financial wherewithal got scared and moved into the metals, I think those old numbers of 850 would not only be taken out, I think the numbers more like $5,100 an ounce for silver are more likely, and it could be even higher than that because you've got to remember the amount of currency that's out there versus how little metal there really is. So it only would take a small percentage of what I would call scared money to move into those commodities to send them in paper prices that probably would sound absurd at this point in time.
Yes, but of course, won't we be seeing a massive inflation at the time so that you know, the purchasing power of those dollars that you get would be rather limited?
Well, yes and no. And I hate to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Let's take the Weimar Republic for an example of a hyperinflation. There's a story that goes that one of the bellhops was given a gold coin before the Weimar Republic runaway hyperinflation took place. And during the hyperinflation, he was able to buy that hotel for the gold that he had collected as a bellhop. So obviously the purchasing power of the gold held very strongly because of, you know, it's a pretty good piece of real estate he bought for real money. Whereas the currency itself, I mean, people would, you know, I mean, there's several stories and who knows how true all of them are, but, you know, like there's a barrel full of currency, a wheelbarrow full, and the currency was dumped on the ground and the wheelbarrow was stolen. So, you know, these are the situations that you can get in. I don't expect to see a hyperinflationary blow-off. I think that the system is set up, as poorly as it is, it does have a feedback mechanism, and that's the bond market. As the interest rates go higher, the value of bonds decreases, and that's a safety valve, so to speak. So if you got very high interest rates because people were saying this money's becoming worthless, I demand 15% interest on this, the bond value corresponding to that high interest rate would be very low. So you would have two forces going at the same time. You would have near-term money, M1, that would be highly sought after, getting high yields, and then the M3 or the bond market would be getting very high yields as well, but the value of those bonds would decrease significantly. So that would mean that the amount of quote-unquote money would be decreasing even though interest rates were going up. So it's rather complicated, but the point I'm trying to make is that I don't really see, by the argument, that we're going to see more and more inflation. I think we're going to see what we know we have now, and that's the worst of all worlds, which is called stagflation. You're going to see higher prices for needs like oil, food, energy, everything that we have to pay every month, and at the same time, perhaps a decrease in your total income, meaning that you might have to take a 10% pay cut to keep your job because your job might be shipped off to India somewhere. You might be working in the software industry, for example. So that makes it very tough on the average American when they're asked to get a decrease in pay and yet everything that they need to purchase to live keeps increasing in price, and that's where we're at right now.
Well, I'm afraid that that is actually very correct. Now, one of the interesting things is that over in India, you know, the people are having more and more money to spend. In the past, why India, China, where the people were fairly impoverished, but now you're having a growing middle class in India, and you've got a population that's almost four times the number of people we have here in the United States. So even if only a quarter of the people are in the middle class, why they're getting increasing money, the economy is really has moved up very, very nicely. In fact, there are many people who think the center of manufacturing is going to shift from the United States to India and to China and to Brazil and the Soviet Union within the next couple of decades. And I really think that that's really what are the people who are running things behind the scenes are planning. And of course, this will lead to the impoverishment of the American people. But what will a rising economy in India do as far as the price of silver is concerned? Because the Indians always seem to have looked to silver as a storehouse of value. And I think they're a lot more practical than the American people. The American people honestly believe you can create money out of nothing simply by a dead entry. I think the people of India probably cling more to tangibles, thinking that they have wealth much more than something that the government says has wealth. Do you think that there'll be increasing buying of silver over there?
I do think there will be. It's a very interesting study just looking at India as a subset of the total world silver market. They've always identified it with wealth and a store of value. There's always these reported sales out of India, but if you really study what they do, the sales are usually within the country. Very little silver is exported out of India, if at all. So I do believe as they become wealthier due to their ability to produce, as you said, you will probably see more savings in the silver market. Probably gold as well. They're pretty favorable to gold, but my argument has always been that gold is kind of the top set of money. I don't argue that. But you got to remember how many, you know, big dogs there are versus the little guy. And I've always been kind of for the underdog, meaning that when people get scared and they don't have a lot of funds to invest, fear could drive a market to extreme dislocations. And if it looks like the dollar is going to do really bad and people get scared and start to look for something tangible, they might look at gold. But if gold's moving past $2,000 the ounce, and they've only got $2,000 to spend on an investment, they might move it into silver because at least silver would be a lot less per unit than gold is.
And so you think this may be, in the long run, a much better investment for the average individual. If we're going to be back here in just a moment or two, we'll have to take a quick break. And when we do, I'll tell you how to get hold of David's newsletter and, of course, open our lines here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox. The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention that we carry the Miracle Tooth soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that a lot of the people who use these products really are sold on them, and they tell us all sorts of stories about how they've helped them with the rashes and acne and upper or lower gastrointestinal tract symptoms. And, well, I can't tell you that they're going to help you. All I can do is suggest give them a try and see if they do help. Now, there's a soap. There's a moisturizing soap, which I personally have used for a couple of years. There is a gel, a lotion, and then there's an alkalizing solution. So why don't you give them a try and see if they'll help you? They have a special introductory offer that's available from Radio Liberty at a reduced price. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ask about the Miracle 2 soap products. I don't think you'll be sorry if you try them. You may like them. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is David Morgan, who is the author. He writes a silver newsletter. And David, how can people get hold of you or your website or your organization?
Well, the easiest way is off the internet if you have a computer, and that's just www.silver-investor.com. And if you don't have a computer, we've got a toll-free number, 877-610-9962.
You have to give that number twice. See, that's
sure.
the secret on radio. You always give the number twice.
That's fine. It's 877-610-9962.
All right, fine. Now, of course, as we see what's happening now, how if people were going to invest in silver, what would they do? Would they buy silver stocks? Or would they buy silver coins? Or would they buy silver rounds? Would they buy silver bars? Or how would they go about even approaching this? And then, of course, if you have bars, how do you store things like that?
Well, I'm very consistent with what I teach, and I think the most important thing for what I see going forward for the financial markets on a worldwide basis is to have the real metal first. And that means both gold and silver coins in your possession. And the coins can be, your choice. I prefer bullion coins, meaning low premium coins. Silver rounds are just privately minted coins is what they are. They're referred to as rounds or medallions, but they're really 1 ounce units of silver. 999 fines. So that's a good way to go for a small investor. Bars, if you're so inclined, that's usually for bigger investors. Really not too big a storage problem unless you're getting into large, large quantities of silver. And if that's the case, then there are facilities that will store the metal for you for a low fee basis on an annual basis, somewhere around the 1% level. But that isn't, a case too often, although I have some people that subscribe to my service that do have that kind of quantity, and there are facilities, like I said, that we can refer you to handle those kind of size situations if you want. So.
Well, what about silver stocks? Is there any place in your investment portfolio for silver stocks?
And thanks, Dr. Stan. That's the next step up, and that's what we specialize in. We do not sell silver. We will refer to dealers that we know and trust and have known for years, but we do not sell ourselves. But we do specialize in top-tier mining companies. And the silver mining stocks have outperformed gold stocks and all other asset classes up until this recent pullback that we've had just the last couple months. But going out about 3 years ago, up until the $8 level of silver, the silver stocks were the number one best asset class to have been invested in the last 3 years. I believe that we're just in a space right now where it gives you a good opportunity to buy into these stocks, and we follow not that many companies. I don't like long lists. I do my homework. We study very hard the silver industry from all aspects, and we recommend what we call top-tier companies that are producers, that are stable, large-cap stocks that are well-managed, and then we have what we call speculations. And I weight the portfolio, so I teach people to put a lot of money in something very stable, and well-managed. And if you're going to take a wild flyer, then just bet a little because you don't want to get hurt. In other words, you bet a little to win a lot, and the more big companies, better capitalized companies, we weight the portfolio with more percentage of the investment.
Well, I can remember 25 years ago, Sunshine Silver. That was sort of the gold. That was the premium silver stock. I don't even think Sunshine's around anymore, are they?
It went bankrupt, and the mine was taken over. In fact, it's one of our speculations, Dr. Stan. It's a company that I followed very closely. It didn't have much to do with it. And then I got a phone call one day that they were going to try and purchase the Sunshine Mine, the old Sunshine Mine, and I made a trip over and actually met with the CEO face-to-face and spent about 2 days with him before I decided to recommend the company.
And I think the thing is that what happened was that they artificially drove down the price of silver over a period of many years. And you have to, you can't mine silver if you can't make enough, when you get it out of the ground. And they kept the price so low that the companies just couldn't afford to keep operating. And really, don't you think that the price has been kept down artificially for many years?
Absolutely true. I mean, what other industry is there that you keep losing money continuously and yet you can go to Wall Street and keep borrowing money to do that same business? And that's the case for two New York Stock Exchange silver companies. I mean, if they were building automobiles or anything else, Wall Street would say, get out of here. You guys haven't made a profit in a decade. We're not going to loan you any money. But for silver, for some reason, they say, oh, that's okay. Lose all you want. Here's some more money. Go lose some more money. Just get that silver out of the ground.
All right. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest, David Morgan. We will certainly welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we want to bring you abreast of what's happening as we're entering some very difficult times. I think they're going to keep things going through the election. But remember, it's all manipulation. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all symbolism over substance, tinsel over truth. We'll be right back in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Road to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that we do carry the Phenopoly programs here. Phenopoly is an interesting program. It's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a program played very much like a Monopoly, and it's a fun game to play. I've played it before we wanted to recommend it. I wanted to make sure it was something that would really work. And, of course, you have to have a little tape recorder. You bring you the cassette tapes, and then you begin to learn the sounds. There's an AA and there's an AA, and there's different sounds for the letter I and for E and the various vowels, and there are 40 sounds in the English language, but which sound is it? Well, there are 12 basic rules in the English language, so you'll learn the 12 rules, you'll learn the 40 sounds, and in about 16 hours you can get a child to read phonetically. One of the most exciting things, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about a Phenopoly set. And then I want to mention that we hope that many of you out there will want to learn a lot more about America, its Constitution, about its heritage. And you can do that by getting a kit for the Institute of the Constitution. And the kits are available by calling 888-731-7309796. That's 888-731-7309796. And you'll get, of course, 12 half-hour lectures. You'll get a couple of extra videos. You'll get the kit with the questions in it. And it's designed so that you can teach your family, you can teach your church, you can teach anybody about the Constitution, about this amazing form of government that we have that most people don't even understand today, and which many people are actually violating back in Washington, D.C. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is David Morgan, and David has a newsletter. How often does the newsletter come out, David?
It's published once a month, and then I put out interim updates as required. So as we're kind of going through this real rapid increase in price, I put out a couple of alerts, and then as it tumbled down, I also cautioned the investors, you know, what I saw coming and, you know, how to prepare and to not panic out of their situation. Basically, it's very difficult to be consistent when you have people that have been with you, let's say, for 4 years that bought a certain stock at maybe a $2 level, and then it's like at 18, and then you have somebody that just has been with you a month and they want to buy it at 18, you tell them, no, you better wait, I'm recommending that stock to purchase it around 12. So it's very difficult to try to, you know, one size fits all in the stock market. So what I did was I alerted people that all the people that have bought, you know, this particular company, and this is generally speaking, but it's very accurate of what I did. I say, well, it's a long-term position. Go ahead and hold it and weather the storm. Anybody that's new that hasn't bought yet, then take advantage of this, you know, decline and start to build your position. So, you know, I just do the best we can here. There's no magic formula. We just work very hard at what we do. And if you don't believe the basic premise that the dollar is doomed, that the financial institutions as we know them are up for a big shaking out, then you probably don't really need to study what we do here at Stone Investment Group. If, on the other hand, you're not sure and you think it's a wise thing to put an insurance position together, we can certainly help you with that. We never advocate that you should have all of your eggs in one basket. I would never do that. However, I think under the current economic climate, be more than like a 10% weighting in the gold and silver sector. I think it's more prudent to have more like 20 to 25% because of the situation that exists with the war, the economy, the oil, and everything else that's going on in today's world environment.
All right, fine. Well, we've got George on the line. Let's see where George is. Hi, George. Where do you live?
Yes. Hi, I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
All right, fine. Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Thank you. Very good. A little cool up here. I have a quick question. I think it's been kind of answered, but mutual funds with regards to gold, silver, and some of the other minerals, I'd just like the comments, and I'll listen off the air.
All right, fine. So the question is, what about giving it to a mutual fund company and let somebody else invest who's supposedly a lot smarter than you are? Can we trust the mutual funds not to be looking out after themselves rather than the clients?
A mutual fund, I think, is a good way to go in most cases. The Tocqueville Fund is one that I know. The one Frank Holmes runs is another good one, USSA Investors. There's several out there. Most of them are fine. The only question I get quite often is, what about a silver fund? And the answer to that is there isn't any. There used to be. There was a Lexington Strategic Silver Fund. That's no longer in existence. And there was a silver fund run by the Pilgrim Group of Funds, and that is no longer in existence. So if you're looking for silver exposure, you pretty much need to either, you know, subscribe to mine, get my work and see what silver stocks I like, or do your own research. Certainly, I'm not going to prevent anyone from doing that. If you've got the time, you can certainly research. There aren't that many what I consider to be top-tier silver companies in the world. With a little bit of work on your own, you can discover who those are. But I think for the average investor, a gold mutual fund, and some of those have some silver stocks in them, is probably a very decent way to go. They do, you know, require a fee. There's no such thing as a no-load fund. They promote them as that, but they actually do have to pay the money managers, so there is a load whether they refer to it that way or not, but that's part of the deal, and that's okay. Certainly, you know, these guys have to make a living as well, so I would suggest for the average investor, have a look at them. You know, that's the only caution is, if you really want silver exposure, there isn't really a gold fund out there that has that much silver exposure. I'm pretty much a lone wolf in the forest, Dr. Stan. There's not too many on the silver side of the precious metals area.
Well, I remember back in the mid-1960s, there was a stock called Hecla, and it was primarily a silver stock, although I think maybe it had some gold in it. That's still around today, isn't it?
Absolutely. That was the number one performing stock on the entire New York Stock Exchange in 1979. No stock went as strong as Hecla Mining in 1979. It went from $5 a share to $50 a share. Now, in 2002, the number one performing stock on the New York Stock Exchange was Hecla Mining. It went from 50 cents to $5, but nobody even knew about it. Now, let's take that back to 1979. At the top of the market, everybody knew who Hecla was. Everybody knew the silver story. Everybody wanted to move into the silver market. But it did another tenfold increase a couple years ago, and no one knew. And that shows you how early we are in the silver market, or the precious metals generally, both gold and silver. The herd has not come to the precious metals yet. And that's why I'm so emphatic about the fact that I'm very strongly believing that we have a long ways to go in these markets, even though, as I admit, we're in a little bit of a temporary holding pattern right now. And I do think it will take some time to rebuild these markets back up. But I really think that most investors are going to ask this simple question. You know, gold hasn't doing much the last few months, but where am I going to invest? They see the stock market's going down, oil, they think they're too late. Maybe they'll invest in oil. I think that's a good place to invest. But there aren't that many places to go. And I think once the public catches on to the precious metals markets again, they're really going to move significantly higher.
All right. What's the name of that company now that bought out Sunshine?
Sterling Mining.
How do you spell that?
Sterling.
Oh, Sterling, like sterling silver.
Correct.
All right, because I mean, that traditionally was, you know, that was sort of the one of the premier silver
mines. It was the number one top tier New York Stock Exchange silver stock. It was $60 a share at one time.
And of course, what's happened to the mine? Did they flood?
The mine exists. It's been bought by, in fact, it's interesting you're asking, and this isn't rehearsed, as you know, anyone that listens to Dr. Stan, but I am going to go down the shaft. They're just preparing the mine to start working again, and I want to be very careful what I say here. I mean, it's probably 2 years away from any real ore coming out of that mine again. But they're doing, you know, it takes time. But they have got the hoist working again, and the county and I guess the state have approved the hoist to be, you know, safe. And I'm going to be going down myself probably within the next 2 weeks. And, of course, I'll be writing about that in my newsletter. But they are preparing what they need to do to get this thing cleaned up and hopefully get it back in production. But, again, I caution everybody, it's more of a speculation than a sure thing at this point. But it is the Sunshine property. It's got quite a history to it.
Well, I think the thing is that most people don't understand that it takes a long time to get a mine back online if it's been out of production, or, you know, to develop the new mines. And they kept the price so artificially low for such a long time that when the shortage does come, and it's going to come sooner or later, then it's going to be a short period of time there where I think the price is just going to go through the roof.
I think so, too. Yeah, we'll have to see how much, you know, is being owned by people that are willing to part with it at a higher price, and that could bring equilibrium to the market for a while. But I don't think there's enough above ground by private investors to stop it for that long a period of time. I think you're going to see a significant shift in price. And then, as you said, you know, everyone that's got any kind of a silver property at all is going to be scrambling to try to get it into production. But that's normally a five-year process. Now, even with the old Sunshine Mine, it's probably going to be a two-year process. Now, I'm not the CEO, and I'll be interviewing him as I do. We're friends, actually. I've come to know him quite well. And he might get mad at me and say, no, it's a year and a half. But, you know, I'm going to be conservative and say it's probably going to take a couple years to get everything cleaned up, get all the permits back in place, to get everything functioning properly, to hire a crew to go down there. First thing you got to do is clean up all the kind of junk that's left in the mine. You got to pump all the water that's in there. I mean, there's just a lot to do before you can really start, you know, getting the ore out and getting it milled.
And, of course, it's as with anything, you know, when you have a shortage, then everybody jumps in. And of course, then everybody starts, you know, mining silver maybe 5 years down the line. And then suddenly we'll have an overabundance. It's the way that cycles go. But that's a good way down the line before we ever get to an overabundance or overproduction of silver, don't you think? You're going to have to get the price up pretty high to get people willing to jump back into production because they've held that price down for so long, and so many people have just lost their shirts in silver in the past.
That's exactly right. And the problem is what you're alluding to, and you've said it, and you probably realize what you've said, but I'll just emphasize a couple points that you made. All the easy silver is gone. It's like oil. It's not that we're running out of oil per se. We've run out of cheap oil. There's no real easy to get oil left. Same thing with silver. The $40 per ounces per ton mines are gone. They're done. They're finished. There aren't any mines like that left. So for silver to become economically feasible to mine at a profit, you're going to have to see $15, $20 an ounce silver. Once that's accomplished and it stays at that price, then you're going to see business decisions made that say, well, we can mine this stuff for only $15. We're going to make $5 the ounce profit. Let's get going. And once you get enough of those mines, yes, you will come back to an equilibrium price. But until you get enough silver out of the ground to meet the demand, once there's a shortage and not just a deficit, once that takes place, then I think you will overshoot the price by quite a significant amount.
And I think it's been fascinating. I've been watching silver for 40 years, and I don't think I've ever seen a time such as we have now where there obviously are progressively less in the way of stores. Do we have any realistic way of knowing how much there really is above ground now and available for sale on the COMEX or other markets?
Well, we do. I just, in fact, finished my June letter. It went up on my website for paid subscribers yesterday. And I went through the two best studies in the world, both the GFMS and the CPM group study, and I compared the two numbers. One of the numbers is rather large. In the financial markets, it's very small, but, I mean, people hear these numbers, they think they're big. The GFMS reports 671 million ounces of silver bullion available on a worldwide basis. And CPM's number is around 367 million ounces, significantly less. And, of course, I addressed that, and I'll give you part of my newsletter for free, which I don't mind at all. And I said that the difference of almost 300 million ounces, I believe, is the amount of silver that has been leased by governments and central banks in Europe. And that would explain that the two numbers are equal, because the way the accounting process is manufactured, as you know, Stan, the story behind the story is that you're allowed to say that I own the silver if it's leased out. Even though it's not your vault anymore and you gave it away at a ridiculously low price, you're still allowed to keep it on the books, in quotation marks. So that's how they could account for it and it not really be there. And that's what I truly believe has happened, although I'm very honest about that. I put in my letter that I cannot prove it to you. But let me give you an anecdotal evidence of this fact. If there was three times as much silver in Europe as there is on the COMEX right now, according to this report, then why is there a 17% value-added tax on silver in Europe?
Value-added tax, I mean, it's going to cost you an extra 17% to buy silver over
there. Physical silver, yeah. You can buy it on paper. You can walk into a bank and they'll give you a piece of paper that says you own silver and hand you back that piece of paper for a minimal fee, like 1%. But if you want to buy real metal you put in your pocket that you know you own, you got to pay a value-added tax. Well, that doesn't make any sense unless it's scarce and hard to come by.
Now, is that much higher than anything else would be? In other words,
gold is like here. If you want to go in your bank and buy gold in Europe, then you're going to pay about a 3% premium.
All right.
But silver, you got to pay 17%. That alone should... wake up the common sense, that God gave us, your natural born common sense to say something's not right with the silver market.
In other words, government bodies are really sort of in bed with the silver people, trying to keep the price down, trying to keep people from buying silver, because if too many people buy silver, suddenly there's going to be there's going to be a very real shortage, is what you're saying?
Absolutely true. In fact, I spent most of the rest of this month's report, this month's letter, I like to refer to it as a report, but anyway, this month's work on that exact issue, probably spent 4 pages on that exact issue, and I find it was probably one of the most fun months I've ever had with my work, because when I was writing this, I threw some humor in there, but also made some very salient points of exactly that. Look, here's what the COMEX is saying, but let's look at the real story, and the real story is they're scared to death that somebody will come in and say, well, you know what, I'm taking you at your word. I want to buy what's on the exchange. Here's the cash. Now give me the silver. They're scared to death that that would happen. And if it does happen, they have all kinds of rules in place that protect who? They protect the silver short positions. They'll actually close the exchange. And they put that in writing. So it's no big mystery. It's just that most people don't have the time, the inclination, or the wherewithal to study these things as carefully as I do. And there are others that do study as carefully as I do, but it's what I make my living at, so obviously I need to do as thorough a job as possible. But the point being that they're very upfront if you read the fine print. If you read everything they have to say that's in writing, they're very matter-of-fact that they favor the short position in the commodities exchanges, and not only in silver, in all the commodity sector.
In other words, we win, you lose, that's the way the game is played.
If we are getting beaten, we'll change the rules.
And, I think that Bunker Hunt found that out, too.
Commented on that as well.
All right, let's go to Tony. He's calling about silver. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Doc. I was looking on the website for Vanguard Mutual Funds, and it was interesting because they've had their precious metals fund closed for almost 18 months, and they've just opened it again. Of course, they opened it at higher limits. But I thought it was kind of interesting that they didn't. When I talked to them before, they said they didn't look like they would reopen it again. But they've taken in so much that they had to close it. So I was wondering if you had any comment on the fact that our other maybe mutual fund companies opening up their precious metal funds that have been closed for a while.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. The sector is going to heat up. I'm sure of that as you can be as a human being. We'll see more and more funds come on board. By the top of the market, there'll be at least 2, if not 5, silver-only funds available. I'm looking for the top-tier silver companies to have leaps on them, long-term option, if you know what a leap is. It's nothing to worry about. All I'm trying to state for your listeners' benefit is that all the extra little icing on the cake, so to speak, that goes with the top-tier companies and, let's say, the technical sector that we saw once that was peaking, you'll see all those same type of things available in the precious metals markets. You'll see options on options. You'll see all kinds of ways to invest. You'll see it on TV. You'll be hearing about, mom and pop just opened a silver mine and blah, 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 blah. And that's what you'll see. But I don't expect to see that kind of froth in the market until, like I said, 2008 to 2010. But that's why you want to get in now. You want to get in now when no one's listening or paying attention. This gentleman obviously does his homework. And Vanguard's one of the better funds. I wouldn't hesitate from using them, although I, you know, if I asked me a preference, I'd probably say either Frank Holmes does a great job or John Hathaway at Tocqueville would be my top two picks. But most of them track each other fairly evenly. They're all weighted about the same, so picking one fund manager over another one is not a, you know, any big advantage. Some of them outperform others, but it's kind of a random walk on that.
Well, Tony, we're out of time. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Oh, bye-bye. And I want to thank you so very much for being with us again, David. I think it's always a pleasure to have you here, and we'll look forward to having you on one of our other programs in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. They go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention. We do carry the Big Berkey water filters, and of course, the Big Berkey is a made out of stainless steel. It has ceramic filters, and filters are packed with activated carbon. And of course, you put water in the top, it comes out the bottom. It really works very well, takes out most of the herbicides and pesticides and the impurities and the bacteria and the cryptosporidium. And it's a standard that's been used for years by missionaries all throughout the world. I've talk to missionaries. They love the Big Berkey. Now, it's at $279, and you can buy them in every state in the Union except for California and Iowa. If you'd like to see a picture of it, go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Here in California, you can get one of the Big Berkey. We can't sell you the Big Berkey. We can sell you something called a Berkey Light. It's made of Lexan. It's just about the same size as the Big Berkey. The filters are black Berkey filters, and they do an even better job of cleaning up the water. We call them water purifiers rather than water filters, but they don't last as long. In other words, the Big Berkey filters you can use over and over again and clean over and over again. The Berkey Light filters you're going to have to change every 2 to maybe 3 years at the most if you, just more than the one person are using it. And so you're going to have to, know that the filter is just a little bit slower, that they cannot be cleaned. You're going to have to use them for a period of time and replace them. But it's only $199, so that is an advantage. And then if you have fluoride in the water and you want to get it out, you only have to have 2 extra post-filters, whereas the Big Berkey you have to have 4. So there are trade-offs on both sides. We have a Berkey Light. If you'd like to get them, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we'd hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV. War. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, of course, we'd be glad to send you one. We do hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can actually see some of the products we sell. We do sell the Berkey products, Berkey Big, Berkey, Berkey Light. If you buy them through us, why, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we produced free of charge. And then, of course, you can pull down our newsletters. You can listen to our programs 5 hours every day, every weekday. And then there's all sorts of archive programs. And then, of course, we are also on the air 4 hours every day on shortwave. So we will very much appreciate if you'll tell others about our programs, tell them about our website, encourage them to listen to our programs, and begin to understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, and now on a military battlefield. But the battle is a spiritual battle, and unfortunately, the battles are never fought for the reasons we are told. We did not go to war with Iraq because of the threat of terrorism, because Saddam Hussein didn't like Osama bin Laden, and Osama bin Laden didn't like Saddam Hussein, because Osama bin Laden is a fundamentalist of his religion. Saddam Hussein was a Muslim, but he was a secular Muslim. He ran a secular dictatorship, and there certainly was no relationship between the two of them. And any information you get to the contrary is simply to justify the genocide that is going on over there. You have to understand that an awful lot of the boys who are coming home are ill. We have an article pointing out that there are 22,000 young men who've come back from Iraq, and from Afghanistan, who have multiple aches and pains and rashes, and they're trying to get help out of the Veterans Administration, very much like it was after the first Gulf War, where over 225,000 of those boys are permanently ill. There may be twice that many. Nobody knows. The Veterans Administration is not going to tell you, and the Defense Department isn't going to talk about all of these young, healthy men who went off to fight the war, who came home and died. And, of course, nobody wants to talk about why they died. Well, you need to get the information on depleted uranium. You need to get the information on the Gulf War syndrome and the experiments that were carried out on our fighting men. You need to get the Rockefeller Committee report put out by the Veterans Administration over the signature of Senator Jay Rockefeller that tells how they experimented on hundreds of thousands of Americans and our servicemen, because when you go in the military, they can experiment on you all they want, just like they did on the people in the concentration camps in Hitler's Germany. And you say, well, there's no similarity at all. Well, they would never do anything to harm our men. Well, if you believe that fairy tale, you need to call 1-800-544-8927 and get a copy of what we call the Rockefeller Committee Report and find out about the Gulf War illness and about all the wives of the people with Gulf War illness who came down with the same disease, because it was communicable and we brought the disease home to America. There are wicked and evil people in America, just as there were in Hitler's Germany. How do you understand what the scientists, what the doctors, what the psychiatrists did in the concentration camps? The same thing's going on here. If you haven't got our four tapes on Tuskegee, the Tuskegee study, you need to get that to really understand what I believe is going on in the world today, and what is going on in our military is only understood what happened at Tuskegee. Please give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the copies of the Tuskegee study, four-tape set we have. Get our Veterans Committee report, the Rockefeller Committee report. Get our other material and help us in this truly epic struggle to determine whether any nation based upon Christian principles shall long survive, because we're no longer a Christian nation. Till tomorrow, at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.